Well, last week we read that wonderful story of what happened to Jesus when he went down to the river and received baptism, how he discovered who he really was in baptism when the voice comes and said, "You're my son, you're mine, you belong to me, and I'm proud of you." Well, there's another story that takes place by the water, where the water meets the land. It's in chapter 5. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into the one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you'll be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, it had not been a good night for Simon Peter or for James and John. They were fishermen, but it had just not been a good night. And Jesus knew that when he got to the beach that day. Because when Jesus got down to the shore, what he didn't see gave him a clue to what had happened. What he did not see was Simon standing there saying, standing there in front of a pile of fish saying, get your flounder here, got snapper, got mackerel, best prices on the beach. He didn't find Simon doing that morning. What he found was Simon and the rest sitting there pulling chunks of seaweed and, you know, clumps of grass and pieces of wood and trash out of their net. Because they had not caught a thing all night long. Fishing had not been very good. And they were fishermen. Richard Rohr is a teacher of the Christian spiritual life. And he's got this phrase that intrigues me. He says, spiritually speaking, after the age of 35, your successes don't teach you anything. Spiritually speaking, after the age of 35, your successes and your achievements don't teach you anything. It's your disappointments. It's your failures. And that sort of makes sense. I mean, think about it. If everything is going your way, you know, you've got the world all put together, and you know, you're holding life together by your charm and your good looks and your good works and your intelligence, and you got it all together. Well, you know, you don't need any help, and you're not going to change much if you've convinced yourself you're pretty self-sufficient. You know, but all the great spiritual traditions say that you will not learn anything until you admit that you really can't hold it all together on your own. Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, they say we really can't work with anybody or help anybody until a man or woman admits, you know, I don't have it together. This addiction is bigger than me. I am powerless before it. The beginning of spiritual wisdom is not our accomplishments. It's not knowing everything. The beginning of spiritual growth and wisdom is when we claim how much we don't know and how much help we need. So maybe Jesus figured, well, this is a teachable moment for Simon Peter. He ain't caught anything. Maybe he can learn something here. So, that's how it is at the beach. You know, the beach is sort of awesome for me because it makes me realize how I'm not in charge, how I am small, and how I don't have a lot of power. If you want to know about power, ask somebody who had a house at, you know, maybe Pensacola Beach or Navarre Beach about 2 years ago. Say, you know, how much power do you have? And they'll say none. It sort of reminds me of the little boy. He was just a little bit over 3 years old the first time his parents took him to the beach. And they went down to the water's edge, you know, and the waves kept coming in. And the little boy was kind of clingy. He kind of held on to Daddy pretty tight. And his dad said, son, are you a little bit afraid? He said, uh-huh. He said, Dad, it just keeps flushing and flushing. You know, it just doesn't stop. A little bit scary. And so Jesus takes Simon in this moment when things aren't working for him. And Jesus says to Simon, let's put out into the deep water. You know, that's kind of a symbol. Let's go out in the deep. And put your nets down for a catch. And Simon, he looks at Jesus like, you may be a good rabbi, but you don't know anything about fishing. We've been fishing all night. But Simon Peter, he does it. He does it. And they put down their nets and they get this huge haul of fish. Now this reminds me of another story. It's not a Bible story. It's a story about one of the smartest guys that ever was, a man named Arthur Eddington. Arthur Eddington was an astrophysicist at the turn of the last century, British man. One time a newspaper reporter came up to Arthur Eddington and he said, and Albert Einstein had just published his theory of relativity, and this newspaper man came up and said, they say that you're one of three people in the world who understand what Albert Einstein wrote. And Eddington says, three? Who's the other one? Anyway, is that smart? Smart guy. But he was a Quaker. He was a Christian. He was very concerned that about helping lay people understand complicated scientific stuff. But he also understood how even scientists could miss something. How limited sometimes our seeing is. How we can misinterpret the data. And so to make that point, Arthur Eddington made up this parable that I think is pretty neat. He said, imagine a fish scientist, an ichthyologist. You know, you knew that. And so this ichthyologist, this fish guy who studies fish, or this woman who studies fish, they go out on a boat, and they have this huge fishing net. And, it's a big fish net. It's got mesh about that big, about 2 inches. So they let down the mesh, the net, and they pull the net up, and they take everything in the net, and they spread it out on the deck of the boat, and the fish scientist begins to sort it out. You know, and he sorts it out by size and that, by what kind of fish they are. And so he writes up his report. And after analyzing all the data about everything he'd been caught in the net, he writes this, I conclude that there are no fish in the ocean smaller than 2 inches. You get it? It was a 2-inch mesh. Eddington says, that's how we miss stuff. We miss stuff. What Jesus is trying to get Simon not to miss is the presence of the kingdom of God. Everything Jesus talks about is about this kingdom of God. You know, Simon Peter didn't know what was just beneath the surface. He didn't know until Jesus tells him where to fish. And he brings up that huge net full of fish and all of those writhing, boiling, rolling, silver-scaled fish sort of sparkling in the sun. And he's astonished that there was something going on that he had missed. Jesus doesn't want us to miss what's going on with God. His way of talking about it is saying the kingdom, the rule, the reign of God is around you. It's at hand. Or another way to think of that is the territory of God, the place where God is in charge. And he said, God is not far off. God is not way somewhere else. God is close. The kingdom, the rule, the way, the territory of God is at hand. It's among you. It's in your midst. It's so interesting that when Jesus wants to get through to people about what is there, but they may be missing because their methods of looking are flawed, Jesus uses little stories. Now, when Jesus is talking to a farmer, you remember what he used? He used stories about seeds. So he says about the farmer, he takes some seeds and puts it under the ground. It's somewhere he can't see, just beneath the surface, and something is going on. Even though he doesn't see it, something is going on. And so he tells about how this seed sprouts and it grows up and it makes this huge tree, and it's a miracle. It's an astonishing abundance of God. Well, when Jesus is with fishermen, he doesn't talk about seeds. He tells them where to fish. And there is something just beneath the surface that they had missed. All these fish. And they bring them up. And it is Jesus trying to get them to see the abundance of God. The abundance of God. The astonishing provision of God. The lavish mercy of God. The wideness of God. And so Jesus brings that up, and he shows them, and they see it. They get it. They get it that there is more to life than they thought. They get it that there is something going on beneath the surface that they had missed. There is stuff that they have just not seen. And in one moment, they see it. And they see it's about abundance. You see, Simon Peter had been operating out of scarcity. I mean, there's not enough. And now, all of a sudden, he sees it. Well, when they see it, there's nothing for them to do but leave everything, and they follow Jesus. It's Simon and it's the Zebedee boys, James and John. Andrew, Simon's brother, will join him, and a bunch more. And the story says they followed Jesus. You know, the way you follow Jesus, the way they did, was not by reading a book. The way you follow Jesus is by tagging along after Jesus and observing what Jesus does and then doing it. In fact, the Gospel of John talks about Jesus as the way. He is the way. Think, I mean, a way as in a path, a road, a way. So they follow Jesus on the way. Jesus is the way. He is the path. He's the road. Jesus is the way to connect with this abundance of God, this miraculous provision of God for us. And Jesus invites people to follow Him, to imitate Him. To wake up to this presence of God in the world. And so, people become apprentices to Jesus. Now, the word disciple that the Bible uses, or what's translated as disciple, it could also be translated as student, or learner, or apprentice. Apprentice is really the word here. You know, You know, it used to be if you wanted to learn a trade, you go apprentice yourself to a master at that trade, and you know, you do what they do, and you learn it. And that's the kind of learning that seems to be the way of learning Jesus. There's a lot you can learn about Jesus by reading books and by studying the Bible, but finally, the way is the way. Learning to live like Jesus did, to become fully aware of this presence of God that's woven through every day and every circumstance. And so what the calling to follow is to join in imitating Him, doing life the Jesus way. And when you do that, when you become apprentice of Jesus, you do some things. First, you begin to wake up to the presence of God woven through all things. And you learn to trust God, that God is trustworthy and that God is good. When you're a learner, learning from Jesus, taking His path, you learn not to be in control. You learn not to trust and count on your own calculations, but in God's way. When you're learning the Jesus way, you're learning to deal with a living God. A living God, not just an idea, but a living God who is beyond my manipulation or my control. And to trust that this God knows what He's doing. And to trust that what God is up to is good. And not knowing all the places this God will take us, but knowing that He goes with us. So, Jesus apprentices James and John and Simon and Andrew and all the rest down to us. We're learning to do life like Jesus did it. We're learning to love like He loved. We're learning to serve like He served. You know, there's those wonderful stories of how He takes a towel and a basin and washes dirty feet. And He tells the disciples, "You see what I'm doing? That's what you do." To follow Jesus and to apprentice to Jesus is to learn to do this thing He did. This way He welcomed other people rather than judge them or categorize them or evaluate them. I mean, you keep running into Jesus. He meets up with all kinds of sinners. I mean, people who have just messed up their life. There's the woman at the well. There's Zacchaeus. There's the thief on the cross. I mean, Jesus meets up with all these people. And unlike John the Baptist, Jesus didn't say to him, "You straighten up your act, you clean up, you get right with God, and I'll welcome you." No, that's not the Jesus way. The Jesus way is to look up at Zacchaeus in the tree, this guy that had swindled half the community by the way he collected taxes unfairly. And Jesus said, I'm going to have dinner with you tonight. Jesus does not lead with calculation and evaluation. He leads with hospitality. He leads with bread breaking. To follow Jesus is to notice how He would stand up for the vulnerable, pull the children around and say, "You need to take care of them." Speak up for the widow, to do justice for the vulnerable. And that's the Jesus way. Learning how not to be afraid, that's the Jesus way. When Simon Peter sees this catch of fish, he falls down on his knees. And he's afraid. And Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. This stuff of God, it's good. You don't have to be afraid." And then Jesus will also teach people how to deal with their pain and their suffering. You know, what most of us do with our pain and our suffering and our disappointment is that we pass it on, don't we? We pass it on. We pass it down the line. We become transmitters of our pain and our suffering. We inflict it on others. But Jesus living in this openness to God is able to contain his disappointment, his pain, his suffering, and he transforms it. He does not return evil to others for evil done him. He becomes a victim, but he refuses to victimize others. Evil is done to him. He refuses to do evil. He is crucified. He refuses to crucify others. What a way to live. The people who follow him, us, are people who are learning to do it like Jesus did it. It'll take us a lifetime, but to follow, to be a disciple. Some of you know about Outward Bound. Some of you may have done it. Outward Bound is this way, I guess it's several decades old now, of teaching people. And you know, the way it works is people, they go out with a group of people and they might go kayaking or they might climb a mountain or, you know, go backpacking in a rugged place. They go do something fairly vigorous, something challenging physically. And the point of it is it teaches them resilience and it teaches them teamwork. And it teaches them to draw on some of their own resources, inner resources, courage and strength they may never have had to do before. Well, it's learning by not just sitting in a classroom, this Outward Bound thing. Well, that's the Jesus way, really. That's the Jesus way. It's not a head trip. It's not just about the life of the mind. It's not just a matter of the intellect. It's a matter of learning to live in the Jesus way, to do what he did, to live each moment in the full recognition and the full awareness of the provision and the abundance of God, the presence of God interwoven and interpenetrating all of our human experience. And when you do that, you learn something a little different from Outward Bound, because finally Outward Bound wants you to learn to rely on yourself and your own resources. But the Jesus way is finally to learn to rely on resources greater than our own, to rely on God. And when you do this, you will be on the greatest adventure there is. Jesus tells Simon and the rest, from now on you'll be fishing for people. Of course, the first person they're fishing for is still themselves. Luke will be the gospel writer that says, this following Jesus, it's about following him in his way, even taking up your cross daily. Luke's the one who adds the word daily. And the prayer we pray for is, give us this day our daily bread. This following Jesus is kind of working our recovery. If you know anything about recovery, people recovering from addictions or behaviors, you know, they talk about one day at a time. And we know with these guys that follow Jesus, quite often it's going to be three steps forward and two steps back. Just keep reading the story. But it is daily, seeking God's strength and learning the way of Jesus. So the first fish they fish for is themselves, to continue on the way. But as they learn the Jesus way, and as we learn the Jesus way, there are ripples. As we begin to connect with others in a new way, we establish new patterns. And we begin to make the way of Jesus a living possibility for them. And we become fishers of people. Just as we have been caught up by God's way, we help others get caught up in it. We make life a real possibility for them where it was not before. St. Francis of Assisi told his followers. He said, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. But he thought the best way was the way you live. So by living the Jesus way, we help the Jesus way become an option for others. You know, when Jesus left living on this earth in a bodily form, he turned to his disciples and said, you're my body now. And St. Paul develops that whole idea. The body of Jesus now, where Jesus is living and moving and showing his way, it's us. It's the church. The church is the living body showing the way, on the way. Well, when we accept that, that is the best adventure there is. It's about following Jesus and not following our own whims. It's about trusting God rather than trusting ourselves. It's about receiving God rather than receiving every little thing we want to receive. It is really about letting go of a small self and claiming hold of a bigger self. A bigger self. The gospel says they left everything and followed. You know, to go on the new way, you do have to leave something. Well, think about it. You don't become big by giving up being little. You don't become an adult unless you give up being a teenager. To get something, to get wisdom, you have to give up ignorance. All spiritual progress is about letting go. It's about letting go of something and moving to something better and new. Something that is better than our own way. That's the way of Jesus. And if you really want to be in charge, if you want predictability, if you don't want to be surprised in life, you can go to the grocery store and buy fish. Think about it. You can go to the grocery store and there, you know, in the glass case on the ice. You can say, I want a couple of pounds of snapper, and I want three of those mackerels, and I want two of those flounders. You know, you can do that. No surprises. They just give you what you want and what you decided on. You get your fish, and you're in charge of it. You call the shots. But the way of Jesus, well, that's a bigger adventure, isn't it? If you choose to follow the way of Jesus, it's just a great adventure to it. You get to go fishing. You don't know who you're going to connect with. You don't know who's going to be hooked beforehand. You're not even sure what all is in store for you. You're not sure of all the places the way of Jesus will take you. You are sure you'll be surprised. And you're sure you will discover stuff that was just beneath the surface that you had missed. But it will all be good. And wherever you are led, God will be there. And you do not have to be afraid. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh Lord, lead us beyond ourselves and our little selves and our cramped spaces of living. Help us to give up the way of going it on our own and open us to the great mercy and provision of Jesus. Help us to discover that awesome, incredible, good life you have in mind. Help us not be afraid to follow, trusting that God is in it all and with us. Because of Jesus, we trust it so. By His Word we pray, and in His way we would walk. Amen. graced people of God, forgiven people of God, blessed people of God, called people of God. Go into the world in peace. Love the Lord as He has loved you. Don't return evil to others for evil shown you, but love one another as God loved you. Go in the name of God. We love as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Alleluia. Amen.